Baptist Tabernacle family, how you doing this morning? That was about three people. Let's try that again. Good morning, His Tabernacle family. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. Be in this place, God. Be in our worship. Be in our praise. We thank you and we honor you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and put your hands together.
I will live.
Jesus. We thank you. We thank you because your word says that you will never fail. We know that you are not man and you will not lie. We know that every promise that you have spoken into our lives, every promise that exists in your word is true. It is yes and amen. And we stand on that this morning. Jesus. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your your testimony this morning, just lift your hands to him and thank him for his faithfulness. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise. You're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Yeah. And put a praise on your lips for our God. If you know that He will do it again in your life, just open up your mouth in this place and worship Him. He is here. He is worthy to receive all honor and glory. We worship you, Jesus. His heart.
Spirit, if you would just for 1 second, that's all we need, Spirit of God. We ask that you would open up heaven. Lord, I know that lives are busy and we're fragmented in so many different directions, but Jesus, I pray that when we come into your house, Lord, we'll be able to be just overwhelmed with your presence. Holy Spirit, without you, it means nothing. And we know when we worship, you come in a stronger way. Please, Holy Spirit. Can we sing that one more time? Just you and Jesus. Maybe you've never worshiped a day in your life. Maybe you don't even want to worship. Maybe you don't even love God. It still doesn't change the fact that He is God. And I pray that while we sing that song one more time, can you give it all that you have? Just don't sing to me. Don't sing to the worship team. Don't sing to the ceiling. Sing to your Jesus. Give Him all that you got. Come on. Everything within you. Abandon everybody. Let your voices just... Songs are very key. You see, it's the overflow. And today, if it's hard for you maybe to worship, you need to get some overflow. It means you need to spend some more time with Jesus. Amen. Honestly, you know, life just goes by so quick. And there's so much what we call vain. What do we mean vain? I'm not talking pride. I'm talking like, honestly, in 5 years, it's not gonna make a difference. Jesus is the only one who will always be there. And I want to challenge you, in all you're getting, get Jesus. In everything that you are, when we come into these services, it's not to have another religious experience, but truly to know God. And we have the opportunity to worship Him. I mean, not just singing to the ceiling, it's really worshiping Him. And I just want to challenge you. Man, he wants you so desperately. He longs to hear you. Man, I don't even sing good. They tell me when I sing over the microphone, they turn me off in the foyer because anybody coming in the foyer will not come into the sanctuary. But it has nothing to do with whether you can sing or not. It has to do with the overflow of your heart. You see, when you love Jesus, man, no one has to prompt you. It just starts coming out. Amen? So if you got to be prompted, you might want to ask the Lord, I need some more of you. Amen? John the Baptist said this, I got to decrease so He can increase. And some of you, the Lord is dealing with sin in your life. And that's why you're struggling even worshiping, because when you're in sin, He's going to convict you. And that's a good thing. Turn to someone and say, I love conviction. Conviction's your friend. Without conviction, you're in big trouble. And that's the Holy Spirit lining you back up so that you can worship from the overflow of your heart. Amen? So respond to him. You know, if your wife or your girlfriend looks at you and says, I love you. And you look at her and go, how long do you think she's going to be your girlfriend? How long do you think your wife's going to figure out, well, she really doesn't love me? Or he doesn't, sorry. He doesn't really love me. You see, this is the overflow effect. I'm just trying to bring it back to relationship. Because I think it's too easy to become religious. And, you know, I was up here, I was watching you, baby. And we're in the middle of this song, and she's looking out. And it's amazing because after three rows, worship pretty much stopped. It's up here is so different. Three rows, worship stops, and everybody else is like this. They sang that song three times. Nicole, did you have to sing it three times in a row? But it's no longer a song when it's coming out of your heart, man. Man, when it's the overflow, it doesn't matter where you sit in the sanctuary, you can affect everybody around you, amen? So can I encourage you? If you don't have overflow, you need to get into the flow. And get all of Jesus you can get. Turn to someone and say, I got to get all of Jesus I can get. Come on, tell somebody else, I got to get all of Jesus I can get. On your way back to your chair this morning, make sure you welcome four or five folks you don't know and tell them, I got to get all of Jesus that I can get. Come on, tell somebody, I got to get all of Jesus. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. I got to get all of Jesus that I can get. Brother Carl, don't sit down. Brother Carl. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Good morning. Don't be a snob now. Somebody. Wow, come on, let's not be snob. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Come on, we're a friendly church. Everybody stand up. Now go find at least one person you don't know and say good morning. Come on, go find somebody. Feel good. How many smiles did you put on somebody's face by being nice and friendly?
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
I see twins in the back.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
That's your key.
Men, one of the greatest things you can have is food and fellowship and Bible learning. So we want to let you know that Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. John's Mission Center, you'll be having men's ministry every single week. Join us. It's one of the best nights you'll ever have.
Pastor has impacted me I was struggling in my life, and it was really hard for me to try to connect myself where I was in my walk. I just felt dry and dead. And I came to him one day and asked him, I said, Pastor, I need your help. He said, I don't know what to do next, what my next step is. He invested in me, and we started doing devotions every day, and he's really invested in me a lot. He had faith in me, and he's spoken to me. It's been a constant thing. He's always encouraging me and building me up. My life has changed so much. It's just incredible. My family life has just blown up. It's just amazing. Can't do nothing but thank him for everything he's done and who he has. And Christ for leading him to me. And me leading me to him.
I'm getting ready for trunk or treat.
Yeah. All right.
Trunk or treat, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m.
Huh. Oh, cool.
Make sure you're bringing candy.
All right. All right.
Pack up your trunk to feed the children. Okay?
Well, yeah.
So again, October 31st, Harvest Fest, trunk or treat. Make sure you're bringing candy for these kids. Fill your trunks. Donate candy. See you at Harvest Fest.
Video.
Hey family, we've been hearing a lot about our new program called Next Steps. We want to help you grow and develop in your walk with Jesus. So beginning with step one, foundation. We're actually just getting this started this week, October 4th. We want to help you get involved so you can sign up for that right away. Step two, we're beginning on October 25th. That's a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So we want you to sign up. We want you to get connected into Next Steps so that way you can grow. And then into step three is about expanding and then moving into step four about fulfilling. There's a lot of people that get lost in church. We don't want you to get lost here at His Tabernacle. This is why Next Steps is here for you. So that way you know what direction you can go in. So make sure that you sign up for Next Steps. You can sign up Sunday morning at the Hub, or you can sign up online at histabernacle.com. Click on Next Steps and register for whatever step you are ready to take. Go down to Next Steps and click on whatever step you are ready to take. Sign up and take your next step today.
Does anybody like doing commercials? Because they're hard sometimes. But listen, to go and piggyback off from Harvest Fest, we had a blast doing that. It was great. We're doing trunk or treat, but we're also doing a bunch of games. So if you can't do a trunk, please donate some candy. Those that want to donate a trunk, that means you put candy in your trunk. That means we want you to sign up. So go to the kids' check-in station or at the Hub after the service so that way you can sign up and we can bless the kids. And it's actually an outreach opportunity for our church as well, because a lot of folks come from outside the church. So make sure you sign up to participate with Harvest Fest. We want to welcome the live streamers this morning for second service. Yay. We're glad to have you with us this morning. Hey, live streamers. You should be here. But cool, we love you. Online campus, we give a shout out to you. We love you. We hope you're blessed today for second service. What are you doing? Hold on. You're taking my microphone. This is a problem.
There were two people on from England this morning.
Two on from England this morning. There was two on from England this morning. Thank you for being on from England this morning. Is there anything else you want me to? Okay, good. All right. So now we want to welcome all the first-time guests for second service. If you are a first-time guest in the house this morning, we want you to raise your hand up. We're not going to shout you out or, say, hey, you need to come up on stage, all that good stuff. We've got some hands going up. So we have a guest packet for you, a gift. Yay, we got a guest over here as well. Awesome, awesome. Keep your hand up if you don't mind. We got some information in there. We want you to get a hold of some stuff. We got next steps going on, a lot of things happening. And after service, if you can fill out, there's a connection card inside that. We want to get to know you. You can bring that out to our guest center following the service, as well as a guest reception where we can join in fellowship with you. Amen? Awesome. Next steps. So you saw the video. We just got started this past week with step one, rock solid faith. Who's in step one in rock solid faith? Who is in step one, rock solid faith? All right. Who's getting ready to get into step two? Step two. The week number one is marriage. So everybody, when you walked in, you should have received one of these pamphlets. It's our next step pamphlet. If you did not get one, can you raise your hand up? We got some ushers that are going to bring you those around. Keep your hands raised. Amen, amen. Keep your hands raised. So what you're going to get is you're going to get the pamphlet. This actually explains next steps. Step one, foundation. Step two, building. Step three, expanding. Step four, fulfilling. Make sure you get one of those. Sign up. You can go to the hub after the service, or you can go online to histabernacle.com. Click on that, the step that you're going to register for. We want to get you involved. So again, we just started last week. Step one, amen. And then October 25th, 7 p.m., we're beginning with step two. I think that's all I got to say, right? Who's next? You are. All right.
Praise the Lord. We want to. Many people don't know the staff of His Tabernacle Family Church, so we wanted to introduce to you the staff that makes this house run. I think it's very important to not only recognize them, but that you recognize them. That this is not a one-man show. This is a phenomenal team of men and women who are making the kingdom of God happen here. We're so blessed to have them. So we'd love to introduce them to you. The first we'd love to introduce is Abe and Carla. Carla is over our administration. This is Carla with a C. Sorry. This is Carla with a C, and she's the head over the department. This is Carla with a K. And she is, they work together as a team, bringing all the administration. We do, oh my goodness, I think it's 43 outreaches a year, as well as all the activities within the church. These two ladies keep it flowing. And this is Abe. He's a tractor trailer truck driver and a motorcycle guy, and he always wants to be your friend. Very smart. He helps with the motorcycle ministry and just a powerful man of the spirit. Amen. We love you, Abe. This is the Wilkersons. Hello, young lady. How are you? Your hair is beautiful. You look very young today, because you are. Are you going to blush? This is Pastor David and his beautiful wife. And we just want to, Pastor David pastored for many years before he came here, over 20 years. He's worked with the worship team. He's still on the worship team, of course. But if you're sick down in the hospital, you usually see these two folks pop in down in the Waverly and Sayre. They'll lay hands on you. Power of God will flow. You'll get healed. Amen. Right where you're at. And so this is a powerful couple. We want to thank them for being here. And you got great, great brother.
Amen. And this is Pastor Shannon Palko as of last week, and her husband Jeremy. They are a powerful team. They minister in the house on all levels. Pastor Palko is a teacher and works with the Raw Youth Ministry, and her husband every single week is in there with those young people teaching, training, and equipping. And we thank you so much for your ministry to the church. And this is our oldest son, Pastor Cody, and what? And his wife, Mindy. They work together in the youth ministry. So if your children are not a part of the youth ministry yet, you are missing out. They should be. Thursday nights, every Thursday night, the power of God is moving on these altars, changing young people's lives. And Mindy, she is working on the salvation team now, heading that up and directing in that department. Thank you very much. That would be the youth department. And this is Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade. They oversee our young adults department and the ministry of outreach. Again, Tuesday nights, if you are a young adult, 18 to 30 years old. Oh, did I say the right age? All right. 18 to 30 years old. Every Tuesday night, powerful, transforming word and worship in this house. You do not want to miss it. Pastor Spencer. He's just going to let me go. And this couple right here, what a powerhouse in the kingdom of God, right? This is Pastor Obi and his beautiful wife, Tara, and she is a nurse working in the community and such a powerful support to her husband and children, and she's on our prayer team. Just powerful. Thank you so much for your ministry. And Pastor Obi is the dean at our Bible college here, developing future pastors and ministers right here in the house. So thank you so much. We appreciate that. Are you talking? And our powerful team of worship. Oh my goodness. Prophetic mantle on this man's life. I don't know about you, but stuff happened in this sanctuary this morning, right? Prophetically, thank you for the gift of worship to this house. Now, we know, and not with heavy heart, but with great joy, that we brought him here for a temporary time because his assignment is so much bigger than right now. And God has called him to something huge. So when he does transition, and we've kind of stole him for a little bit longer here. when he does transition, we're going to celebrate the vision of God coming to fruition in his life. And we thank you for your service in this house. And this is Pastor Dan and Jody. Jody is a prayer warrior and a woman of great faith. And as Pastor said earlier, if you ever want to have fun and laugh and the joy of the Lord, Jody is your woman. And this Pastor Dan, he has come up through all the levels of literally being developed as a great leader in the house of God. He is the associate pastor here. If you see his face, you've seen Pastor Spencer. He is absolutely an extension of Pastor. And we thank you for your ministry that is powerful in this house. You're a blessing. And Minister Redner and his beautiful wife, Julia. Julia is such an encourager. She is always encouraging, praying, lifting, and building up women. And we are so thankful and grateful for your addition to the kingdom of God. And her husband, he came to Pastor Spencer 2 years ago and said, you know, I have just a burden to support the ministry here, and I would love to do that. He is a successful man in business already, owns his own business, runs his own very successful business, but with the time that he has, he's etched out time to serve in God's kingdom, and he is now working with our ministers and pastors as the executive pastor, encouraging and building and strengthening them. So we thank you so much for your service. And then, as of last week, we have Minister Brenda Ostrander and her husband Shane, who has faithfully, with their children, served. He is the head usher and coordinates the ushering duties in this house. And really, whatever his hand can do to serve, they have a servant's heart. And Minister Brenda ministers to a church that is larger than most churches in this area. Over 200 and some odd, I don't know the count right now because it's growing every day. Children, every single week she's ministering. They're not babysitting, they're ministering in the house. And then that's not counting the over 70 workers that she ministers in a church of over 300 people every week. So we thank you for investing in our children who are the church today. Amen. And we have Jamie and Josiah Skinkle. Josiah is the head of our risk management ministry and building and grounds and the bus ministry and anything else he can put his hands to. He is a servant in the house of God and faithful. And Jamie also right by his side with their children. By the way, these couples right here, this family, actually minister, all of them, our children serve right alongside us. Everything that we do, our children are right there serving, and we teach them. And thank you for being faithful to teach the children to serve right along with you. And this is Minister Randall. Wow. I'm not sure if they're cheering because he's single. Minister Randall, awesome young man of God, went off to Bible college, came back, worked on our salvation team, and he is still a part of our salvation team, and just recently has branched out into criminal justice, fulfilling a dream that's inside of his heart, and we're so proud of him for all that you are venturing to do.
And he's single.
But not available until you pass my test, so... And this is Minister Carl and his lovely wife, Donna. Man, they are so powerful on the front lines of ministry in nursing homes and some of the homes where there's people that necessarily can't get out of that area. They go into the four different nursing homes in our area and speak Jesus, right when these people are at the brink of their eternity, and they're able to love on these people, encourage them, and build them, and they're so faithful. They're at the hospitals praying. They are a powerful, powerful couple in ministry, and we thank you for your service in this house.
Amen.
I stole the microphone. This is the greatest team ever right here. I could go to a different church every Sunday for the rest of my days and probably never find a team as great as this group right here. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me for a minute. I want you to shout with me. Loving God. Saving souls. Developing leaders. No, come on, do it like this. Loving God. Saving souls. And developing leaders. Hallelujah. That has been the vision of this house for the past 19 years, and it's done very well. Do you want proof? Right here is proof. You guys are proof. On the other side of that wall is proof. First service was full of proof. Live streamers, your proof. There's proof of people that have been equipped and sent out. There's proof everywhere you look. You see, God measures a leader not by his head, but by his heart. And these two senior pastors, they measure up. This I know. They measure up. I once heard someone say that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know how much these two care. I know how much they care for you and every person that's ever walked through these doors. And we have an awesome opportunity next week is Pastors Appreciation Sunday. And we have an opportunity to seed into these pastors. And I can tell you this, it's good ground. It's good ground. When we seed into our pastors, we're seeding into ourselves. We're seeding into our lives. We're seeding into this region. We're seeding into all the needs and cares that you guys have. So I would encourage you next week to come ready. We want to bless them. This team is going to bless them the best we can. We want you to come ready to give and seed into this house next Sunday morning. Praise God. Give them some love.
Good morning, everyone. We have a brand new online giving page, and I just want to take a couple of minutes to tell you about it before Pastor Rhonda comes to receive the offering. Many of you have been contacted, and we are so thankful for your cooperation and responding. We have a new credit card processing company, and we have a new online giving page, which we put in place all at the same time, and the transition is going great for all of you who have already responded. We appreciate it. If you look at your tithing envelopes, your offering envelopes, you'll see that they are brand new. And the reason for that is because in the credit card section, if you give by card, there's a couple of more pieces of information that we need from you on a weekly basis. The code off of the back and a valid current email address. But I want to tell you about a couple of ways that are it's easier to give if you give by card than it is to use your envelope. The first way is online, www.histabernacle.com, and then click on giving. If you have a smartphone, you can use this process from your phone. And you can, if you have not already received one or created one, create a giving profile that will save your credit card on in your profile, and you can even set up recurring gifts. So if your tithe is the same every week or your offering is the same every week, you can go on there and set it up, set the amount. It'll come out of your account every single week, and you don't have to think about it. Or you can go on and give a one-time gift, and you can also give to different specific ministries within the church if you go online. And you can do that once, I think I said that, from your smartphone. Right here during church. And then the third and by far the easiest way to give with a card is with our text to give. And the way to do that, that is with your smartphone if you have one, you simply text the number, the amount of your gift with a dollar sign. So, for example, $40 would be $40. You text the amount to the number that you see on the screen. Once you text the amount, you'll get a response with a link. You need to open that and set up your giving profile, enter your card information, and it will save your card right then. So from that point, every week when you come to church, you can simply text your amount to that number again, and it will be instant. It will be all done. No filling out of an envelope. So those are our three awesome ways that you can give. You'll see more about it over the next couple of weeks. And if you have questions, you can reach me at the office during the week. Thank you.
Amen. See administration right there. She's communicating and organizing us all the time. Thank you, Miss Carla. So why do we give? We're entering into this time of tithes and offerings. We give because, first of all, God tells us to. He says that the tithe belongs to him, the whole tithe, and tithe means 10%. So we give because God tells us to, but we also give because the reason he tells us to is he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So when we give, we are declaring that our finances are blessed of the Lord, and that makes him happy when his children are blessed. And we also give according to the word of God. It says so that we can do every good work in the house, so we can have His Word TV, so we can have live streams, so we can have a pastoral staff and a children's ministry and outreach and events and feeding programs and clothing and giving the gospel. That is why we give, because how can they hear unless someone is sent? Yes, how can they hear unless someone is sent? So that is why we give. In case you didn't know, in case you've never tithed, that is why, and it is a good thing to be in the blessing and favor of God. Are you ready to give this morning? Let's stand to your feet, and we'll make our supernatural declaration to the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us.
Faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Praise the Lord. Been a busy morning. I'm excited about preaching the Word of God. I think today, I think we have two couples that have been married in the last month. If I could have them both stand. You guys are married. There you go. One more. Stand up. There you go. Two couples married in the last month. Congratulations. We're praying twins in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, triplets. Glory to God. You got to grow the kingdom somehow. Amen. We're praying all people over 60 to have at least one child. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. No, don't curse me, Pastor. Today's an awesome day. How many of you were here last week? If you were not here last week, we want to remind you, you need to grab the word from last week offline, histabernacle.com. You want to watch the archives. Very important. We ministered last week on how truth bends facts, how the supernatural power of God being released can actually take a fact that is a bad situation and God can turn it for good. How many believers are in the lifestyle of just learning to take everything that happens as from the Lord? And I want you to know today, that's not true. Not everything that happens in your life is from God. Not everything that happens in your life is from God. I've heard a lot of believers say this. Well, you know, the sovereign Lord, the sovereign God in heaven allows all things to happen in my life. And I want you to know that that's a lie. The sovereignty of God does not mean that God can do anything he wants. The sovereignty of God means that God has to keep his word and he will never go against the will of man. Those are two things that God can never do. He will never lie, he will never go against his word, and he will never go against your will. God is sovereign to those locations. You and I as believers, many of us, allow things to happen in our lives that are ungodly, that are not from Christ, that are from the diabolical assignment that has been set against you so that you could be disembarked from the purposes that God has in your life. We need to learn how to take a stand to allow truth to destroy and or bend the facts. So today I want to take you on a little adventure. I'm going to do a little teaching this morning because I want to teach you how to do that. I want to teach you how to take a truth and change your fact. Now, the challenge with that is you and I all have to be believers. Are you a believer? You're awful quiet believers. I said, are you a believer? Do you believe God's word is true? Now, that's the key. Because what's happened is we have a lot of people that are in the body of Christ that when you ask them, do they believe in the Bible, they will always say yes. But when you ask them to live the Bible, they will say no. Today, we're not interested in you just saying yes. I want to convince you. I want you to understand. I want you to have revelation knowledge that who God says you are, you are. What God says you can do, you can do. Where God wants to take you, he will take you. And that God has blessing and not cursing. And some of us have got to take a hold of the fact and wrangle it down with the truth. For the truth shall make you free, not the fact. Come on now, say amen. So today I just want to bring us on this place. Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 is our verse for the year, and it says this. He shall be. That means me. Who are you? Say, I'm a me. Turn to someone and say, I think I'm me. Well, who are you? You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. This is who God says you are. You shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers, who shall bring forth fruit in your season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, I thank God, I will prosper. Amen. This is who you are. So the problem is not that God isn't able. The problem is, do we believe that God is willing? You see, when you do not know what God's will is, then you cannot pray in faith. Therefore, the truth does not have power. When you do not believe in the truth, I'm talking the unadulterated word of God, that the word of God is God's words, that when he spoke it, he meant it. And God cannot lie. You see, Jesus said, the words that I speak, the Father has given to me. Where I go, the Father has told me to go. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 14. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So everything you saw Jesus do, you know that's what God the Father does. So the passion of heaven was released on earth. The truth truth is Christ, for Christ is the truth that makes us free. He is the Word of God. So when we read the Word of God, we know the purposes and the will of God. Therefore, we can put faith into what God's desire is for our lives. So turn to someone and say, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I will be who God has called me to be. You see, we've got to believe that the word is above facts. This is not just saying I'm a Christian. I believe God's word is above this world. I believe God's word. You see, when you became born again, the Bible says that you became a child of the living God. You became part of the household of faith. You became part of a member of the kingdom of God. Therefore, you transcended from being controlled by this world system to being controlled by the constitution of the kingdom, which is the word of God. When we understand the word of God, when we have revelation of the word of God, then God's word supersedes the facts that this planet brings before us. Therefore, we can live above the world system by learning how to live in kingdom principle. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I feel sections coming on. You better not bring me down in sections now. Haven't done sections in years. Right now, I want you to all realize, and you all have at some point in time, that you're not always going to have the best of reports. How many have had a bad report in your life? Maybe it was your finances. Maybe it was your family. Maybe it was a health issue. Maybe it was your job. Maybe it was a relationship of some type. You got a bad report. It's not, you weren't sitting there going, boy, I'm excited about this. When you got that report, it literally sucked the air out of your lungs. It shocked you. It bewildered you. You weren't even sure how it could have occurred. And you know one thing I do want to say, even though the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, the one thing I want to give God a shout about is this, is that he has saved us from so many trials. He saved us from so many accidents. He's kept us alive more times than we could count because God has a plan for you. Say amen. The issue is not that we're not always or we're not going to get a bad report. The issue is, what are you going to do when it comes? See, the bad report is the fact. God never told us to deny facts. He told us to declare truth. You know, I was talking to a guy one time, and he was off kilter. He was off base with this. And I remember he had snot running down his face. It was green. And I said, you got a cold? And he says, nope. God never told us to deny facts. He told us to declare the truth, for the truth will make you free. So it's not that facts aren't going to be there. It's not that hard times are not going to come. The problem is not the problem. It's what you do with the problem. Are you going to apply truth or you are going to live in the facts? And as a believer, we've got to come to a resolution in our heart. And that is this, that I am not controlled by the facts of this world. I am controlled by Jesus Christ. I am controlled by the kingdom of God. And what God says I can have, what God says I can do, what Christ paid on Calvary is exactly what I will acquire and live within. It will be my lifestyle. I will not be controlled by this world system. Just saying amen does things in the spirit. It solidifies things in your heart. You see, the power of words are so immense, yet many of us do not live within the understanding, so therefore we curse ourselves rather than bless ourselves. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God, and this is how he said it, this is how the kingdom works. If you want to know how God's kingdom works, if you want to know how the supernatural works, if you want to know how and what God will do in your life, this is how it works right here. The kingdom is if a man scattered seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Say that with me now quickly. He himself does not know how. That is an important part of this verse, because you and I try to always understand what God is doing, but you can't always comprehend. And that's where the struggle comes when we're talking about the bad report. You see, you and I have got to come to this place. For the earth yields crop by itself,
First the blade, then the head, then the full grain of the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he pulls the sickle, and because the harvest has already come. I believe the word of God is above facts. So the issue is this: whose report will you believe? When the bad report comes, when the facts come that take your breath away, the decision is not the fact is there. The decision is, what are you going to do with the fact? Are you going to put your faith in the fact, or are you going to put your faith in the word? Ooh, they're tough this morning, honey. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says, who has believed the report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Revelation is everything. What is revelation? If you took a painting, and you put a big blanket over the painting, what is a revelation? Revelation is not you looking at the painting with the blanket, but pulling the blanket off, and now you can fully see the painting. You see, God wants to bring revelation to your heart, and that's why we go to church, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, so that you and I can grow in Christ, and you and I can come in unity of the faith, that we can live successful. What happens with this, with revelation, all of a sudden God's word becomes alive to you. It goes from being a logos word, which is the written word, to a rhema word, which is a living word. All of a sudden it seems like the verse has jumped off the page and starts licking your face. All of a sudden it jumps in your spirit. It's just like the baby that jumped when Jesus Christ came in the presence. You see, God wants to make alive to you his word. When you have revelation, it's not just words that are being spoken, but now it's life being spoken. There must be a revelation in the Holy Ghost about the word of God. Whose report will I believe? You see, the truth comes to this. This is where the rubber meets the road. Our faith is theory until it's tested. Now we know with salvation it's powerful. We know that the Bible says that God has given each man a measure of faith. That's to be saved with. We know he said to some, O ye of great faith. He said to others, O ye of little faith. And the disciples prayed, O Lord, increase our faith. So we know faith can be matured. Faith can be grown. But each one of us in this room all have a measure of faith to where we can be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, God says that we can be born again. But God has more for you than just being born again. You see, the revelation of the Spirit is that Jesus died on the old rugged cross and rose again on the third day, not just so you can be saved from your sin, but that your sins will be forgiven, your bodies will be healed, and that you get out of poverty. Those are the three promises of the cross. So many have the revelation just of our sins being forgiven, but it's far more than that. You see, God wants to deal with wholeness in your life, not just you surviving in your life. And what happens is, according to the revelation, who will believe the report? It's according to the arm of the Lord's revelation. The revelation of God is, I want all that the word has for me, no matter what anybody says. Can I hear an amen? So here's the situation. Our lives, all of our lives, is about planting seeds. This whole year is about kingdom seeds. We talked about how our thoughts are seeds, how our time is seed, how our words are seed. We talked about how we're the dirt, and that where the seed falls, whether it be on hard ground, whether it be on shallow dirt, whether it be on thorns and thistles, or whether it be on good ground, determines how the seed of the Lord, the truth, will grow in our lives. So here we all are. We're all the same. We're all on level ground here. God doesn't love one of us more than anybody else. So if God's principle works for one, God's principle works for all. So the issue is not whether God's principle is true. The issue is, how are we planting? When the trouble comes your way, when the trial comes your way, whether it be your health, whether it be your wealth, or whether it be your family, we immediately have to deal with a response. I will either agree and lay hold of the fact, or I will choose
to get into God's word, get revelation knowledge on what his desire for the kingdom is. Since I am governed by kingdom principles, I want to know what God has to say, for the God's word is truth. So, Lord, what is the truth that will bend the fact? What is the truth that is in my life that even though the facts are this, if I apply the truth, it will change the fact because God's word is above supernaturally above the natural. That comes down to the seed that we're going to place. We're either going to have seed of faith or seed of doubt. So many of us have seeds of hope. And the fact is that God is not moved by hope. God is not moved by your needs. God is moved by faith. So there's got to be understanding of, listen, I'm in real trouble. I've got a really bad report. This has taken my breath away. This is real. This is not fake. I've got to have something done. They've given up hope on me. I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose my life. There's something happening so desperately bad. I've got to have truth that will make me free. But we've got to determine what the truth is. You see, the truth is the word of God. See, if you're having family problems, let me tell you the truth. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that you will be saved and your whole household, that God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're sick, I love the truth, by whose stripes you were healed. You were not healed right now. You were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died. As easy as it is to get saved is as easy it is to get healed. God wants you to have great employment. He wants you to prosper in your finances. Whatever I do shall. You see, these are words of truth. And the issue is that when trouble comes, what are you doing with the seed? What are you speaking? If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. But the issue is not that you don't have the power to succeed by bringing truth that will supersede fact. The fact is, what are you doing with the words that are coming out of your mouth? Because the words plant the seed. Well, I feel like crap. Well, my life is over. Well, there's no hope. The economy's so bad. You are planting seeds of death and not life. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says our tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. We've got to recognize that this is not a game, that we are not just surviving on this planet. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And the only way to do that is to live within kingdom principles, which means I've got to apply God's word, truth, above even the facts. So this is what we do. We have a situation and we grab some seeds. Now, this is you and I right here. This is the dirt. You and I are the dirt. That means you and I have to have a right heart. If you're living in sin, you do not have a right heart. If you're holding bitterness, you do not have a right heart. If you are unforgiving, you do not have a right heart. You see, the ground that we put the seed in determines what kind of harvest we're going to have, 30, 60, or 100. That's not God's determination, for the seed in and of itself always has been programmed to have the highest level of productivity. So the issue comes down to is, what is the ground that I have in my heart? Do I have my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I spending time with him? Am I in relationship with the Lord? Or am I just surviving doing a religious thing? You see, when we recognize the ground that we are, then the seed that goes in will always bring the greatest production. So here we have, Father, I thank you that my family will be saved. Lord, I thank you that I will be prosperous in all things and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. God, I wasn't was, I am, it is done, it is completed. Jesus has already accomplished it on Calvary's tree. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have depression. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy in my heart and my mind. We plant those seeds. We put them in the ground. And now we have decisions to make. You see, we all make decisions every single day. How many of you put socks on this morning? Pastor Obi did not. I bet those shoes stink after a while, don't they? Do they smell after a while? I took my boots off and I had socks on and they smelled. It was horrible. How many of you? No, I'm not asking that one. How many of you brushed your teeth this morning? Please, everyone raise your hand. If you're lying, please just ask forgiveness really quick. We all make decisions. So we've gone to the Word and we know that it's God's will that you be saved. It's God's will that your family be saved. It's God's will that your body be healed. It's God's will that you prosper in all things and be in good health. It's God's will that your mind be clear and crisp. It's God's will. All those things are God's will, which means you can pray them with faith. What you don't know is God's will, you cannot pray in faith. That's the revelation. So when you know God's will, all of a sudden you're in the position of planting the seeds, and then you have choices to make. You see, and this is what many believers do. We plant our seeds and we declare, "Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God, that I have a good job. I thank you, Lord, that I'm prospering in my finances and that I'm increasing. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that I can tithe and seed and be a blessing." And all of a sudden, something happens at your work. And instead of remaining in faith, you turn to your job and you say, "You stupid job, you're so stupid, I hate you. I wish I'd get fired tomorrow. I just wish I had a different job. I don't even care if I got to eat on the streets." What you just do to your seed? So you're sick. The doctor's giving you a bad report. God's never called you to deny the fact, but he tells you to declare the truth. So all of a sudden you're dealing with, we've been delivered. Hallelujah. You're already sick. You got a problem in your body, and the doctor says this, the doctor says that. They're doing their best. They're only telling you the facts. So you go to the Word. You find out it's always God's will to heal. You find out it's part of the covenant right of a believer. You plant the seed, and you make the declaration, "By his stripes, Lord, I thank you." Go through the Scripture. You start decreeing it, declaring it. But you get up one morning, and you get a bad report, and then you turn to it, and you say, "Well, I guess it's not God's will to heal me." You've just destroyed your seed. Now you've got to replant. Or this is what a lot of believers do. "Well, you know, I'm believing God for a new job." Yes, I am. You plant it. You wait for 24 hours, and you dig it back up. Nope, nothing happening yet. You bury it, surround it. 24 hours later, you dig it back up. Nope, nothing's happening yet. It must not be God's will. And you destroy your seed. You see, when you're starting to believe, there are principles that you've got to hang on to, principles that you can't leave, principles that you can't walk away from. When you plant that seed, God's working, whether you can see it or not, just like Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross, he wasn't dead those 3 days. He was kicking the devil's butt. He was preaching captivity to the captive. And when he rose again, the Bible says he made an open show of the devil. You see, Jesus is moving. The seed is growing. You can't dig it up. You can't kill it. Don't destroy it with your words. Allow God's word to work. But there's something called time. And many times, while time is, fear starts to come. You see, the spirit of fear is not some fake little fable that we kind of make up in the church world. The Bible declares that there are spirits and demonic devils that are full of fear, and their job is to bring you to a place of failure through fear. So all of a sudden, you're believing, you're speaking over your seed, and the spirit of fear comes upon you. Now, I don't care what anybody says. The spirit of fear is real.
And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you know the word. You know the truth. You're declaring the truth. But then a fear comes upon you. Maybe the doctor said something to you. Maybe the banker said something to you. Maybe your spouse said something to you. Maybe your child said something to you. And you're sitting there going, my goodness, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. And fear starts to grip your heart. Anxiety starts to overwhelm you. But I want you to know today that that spirit of fear will steal the seed. That spirit of fear will destroy the truth. That will bend your fact if you don't take the stand according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, and it says this: for the spirit of the Lord is upon me, and God's declaration is, I have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Get up, get back. Until you take authority over that spirit of fear, it will try to snatch your miracle. It will try to get you so enveloped with the fear that you do not have the faith to stand and continue to believe. Fear is never from God. Now, you didn't hear me. I said fear is never from God. Nope, you didn't hear me. I said fear is the enemy of God. Fear is never from God. Anxiety is never from God. Anxiety comes from fear. You see, the thing about fear is this, is once you cast it off, it's never really gone too far. Devils are a lot like dogs. Tell a dog to sit, sit. You turn your back and that dog's moving again. A devil's the same way. You've already cast the spirit of fear off. Then you go back and you start watering the word by prayer in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that your truth is there. Lord, I worship you. I declare that you are the God of the truth. I declare that you are the God of the word. And all of a sudden, that spirit of fear is trying to come back on you. You've got to take posture. You cannot be passive. They're going to try to destroy you. They're not going to come once. They're not going to come twice. They're going to constantly, in Jesus' name. You have got to be aggressive. Because if the spirit of fear can get a hold of you, you will lose your faith. And if you lose your faith, then that seed will never produce. They're always right there. They're waiting for you to drop your guard. They're waiting for you just to have an open opportunity to try to get back on you, because they know, that devil, that spirit of fear knows, that if that truth is able to take root and to grow, God's word is able to be activated, that the fact that you're now staring at will be changed by the demonstration and the power of an almighty God, not a wimpish little God that sits around in a religious temple, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the I Am That I Am, the Prince of Peace, the coming King, that Messiah, Jesus Christ, is coming soon. It's time to recognize the truth is above the facts. You see, what happens is you don't only deal with that. I mean, you've got different compounds trying to steal your miracle. The spirit of fear is now stayed. You took authority over him. But now you start to doubt. You've got to take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. Whose report will you believe? Doubt is so easy. Do you realize the children of Israel did not enter the kingdom into the promised land for one reason? Doubt. That Jesus could do no mighty miracles even in his hometown. Why? Doubt. We've got to arrest doubt. You've got to start doubting your doubts and build your faith. Back off. In Jesus' name. You see, you have the authority in the name of Jesus. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Under my feet. You got to feed your faith. Some of you are only in the Word of God when you come to church, man. You're crazy. You are crazy, man. You're only in the Word when you come to church? What are you, nuts? That means when hell starts licking your toes, you have no foundation. You have no revelation. Well, I don't like to read. Then listen to the Bible. Get the Word in you. The Word builds faith.
So all of a sudden, man, you've arrested the spirit of fear. You've arrested doubt. You've arrested those portions. But then you have Christians around you, family members around you, that every time you start talking about the miracle you need, they're, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, well, you know, we're believing for the best. Good luck. You know, one thing I learned when you're building a church is not who you can get to come, it's who you allow to stay. And there's one thing for sure in your life. You can't let everybody stay. That doesn't mean you hate them. It doesn't mean you don't talk to them ever again. But man, when they're not willing to build your faith, when they're not a faith friend, shut them up. You and I don't have the luxury to have people in our lives when there's a bad report that will speak death over our lives. If you're married and your spouse is speaking death, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Tell them, blame the pastor. I'll take it. Because we do not have that luxury if we're expecting that seed to grow. And I don't know about you. I you know, some of you, maybe you've not had a bad enough situation in your life. But when you do, you better grab a hold of what I'm preaching about this morning. Because this is the thing that's going to save you. This is the truth that's going to bend your fact. See, some of you take this lightly because it's no big deal because you haven't had hell lick you long enough. But when hell comes so strong, you don't know which way to turn, and there's only one place to turn, and that is up. I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. When you grab a hold of the Messiah, when you grab a hold of the God, when you grab a hold of that truth, you can live with unbending facts. Some of you got to get rid of your friends. This is what I know is this. Even though you don't know how God's going to pull it off, you don't know what he's going to do, the seed of truth is in the ground. And God is not a liar. He has to bring the seed to fruition. Seed time and harvest will not end until the last days, the Bible says, until he comes back. So this will always work. So the question is this, what are you doing with your seed? Well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, you gotta know. You got to know what you're doing. You can't be ignorant. Ignorant people die. How do I know that? The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. This is the moment you've got to know, because in these last days, the diabolical attacks against the believers to try to destroy their faith is going to be acclimated to a level that we have never seen before, because even the elect shall be deceived. It's time for the church to get passionate again. It's time for the church to get into the Word again. It's time for the church to believe the Word again. It's time for us to know the truth so the truth can set us free. God wants you whole. I'll end with this. Remember Jairus, Mark chapter 5. Jairus came to Jesus. He should never have come to Jesus, by the way, because he was a centurion. He should never have come to Jesus. But there was something happening in his life that was traumatic enough, a bad report enough, that it drove him to the only answer he had left. The Bible says his little girl was severely sick. Now, if you're a parent in this room, when your kid has been sick, you know, just coughing and puking and stuff, man, it's irritating. It's a little like, oh, my goodness, I feel so sorry for the child. But when your child is at a place where they cannot take a breath, when your child is at a place when the doctor gives them no hope, when your baby, your little girl who you look into the eyes of that came out of your spouse, when you stare at that baby and that baby says, Dad, Dad, now is at a place of dying, don't tell me that you are not in a desperate situation. We have people in our church that their children have died. Man, it is a horrific, traumatic situation. And I want you to know this, that this is what Jairus was dealing with. His baby girl was dying, and he came to Jesus, and this is what he said. Jesus, if you lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. So from the time Jairus got Jesus to say yes,
Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Word. What is the Word? The truth. What did that man need? He did not need the facts. He needed the truth to bend the facts. So he came to Christ. He came to Jesus, and Jesus starts following. And then there's this woman. Who is this woman anyways? She is a woman who had spent all of her money. She was bleeding, and there was no hope for her, but she made a declaration. She said, Jesus, she said not even to Jesus. She said it right out loud. She didn't even know how to pray. In fact, she wasn't even supposed to pray. She made the declaration, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. And so guess what happened? She wormed her way in there. She touched the hem of Christ's garment. The Bible says that power came out of Jesus and set her free, dried up her bleeding, and that she had a miracle at that point. Well, now that's exciting, but listen, we've lost Jairus here. Where's Jairus? Come on, Jesus, let's go. Let's go, my baby, come on. Remember, you said you were going to come help my baby. Remember, my baby's at the point of death. Remember, come on, Jesus, don't bother with this woman. Talk to me. Oh, Jesus takes his time with this woman and says, you know, your faith is so great. You know, you got it. And then all of a sudden, guys show up. And they looked at Jairus and they said, Jairus, don't bother Jesus. Your baby girl's dead. He waited too long. The facts are clear. She's dead. When you lose a baby, it is not just like losing a friend. It's a gaping. And Jesus looked at him and just simply said this, Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't let the spirit of fear steal. Don't let the facts steal. Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. The words of Christ, the words of truth, it changed Jairus because immediately he grabbed a hold of the truth that made him free and he followed Jesus back to the house. Jesus went into the room and he raised that little girl up. You see, Christ is the resurrection and the life. He can resurrect anything. It doesn't matter what the facts say. He is the resurrection. He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect your family. He can resurrect your health. He can resurrect your wealth. God can do anything if you only believe. God said, it's time to believe. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says this, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it, no matter what the facts say. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. And I love what Jesus said. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Today, I don't know what the facts are in your life, but I know the truth. Well, I hope they work for me, and they won't. God is not going to be moved by your hope. You've got to believe. Oh, but I don't have the faith. Then ask God to increase your faith. Get in the Word of God. Be consistent to His house. Get into the Bible study. Grow, grow, grow. I don't like to read. Listen to the Word. Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Oh, I've told the story many years ago, but Rod Parsley, we were actually at this service. Rod Parsley was talking about a woman who this man took off dancing across the front of the altar during worship. You know, he was really, really well-dressed, very expensive suit, and he took off dancing across the whole altar of God, and everybody just stood there and watched him kind of thing, you know what I mean? And Rod Parsley said, you know something? Some of you are sitting there and you're staring at this man wondering why he's dancing all across, why he's acting like a fool. He said, I'll tell you why. He said one day they came and told that his wife was dying of a brain tumor and she had less than a month to live. He said, but he grabbed a hold of the truth. We laid hands on her one night. She went back to the doctor the next day and the cancer was gone. He said, you'd be dancing too. You'd be shouting too. You'd be rejoicing too. Because the truth bends facts. Today, what facts do you have in your life that need to be bent? You've got to know the truth. You've got to speak the truth. You've got to water the truth. You've got to guard the seed. You've got to repel depression. You've got to repel doubt and unbelief. You've got to repel anxiety. You've got to say, God, you are the King. You are the Lord. You are not just some man that you can lie, but you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And I refuse to accept anything less than your best for my life. I know your will. You want me healthy. You want me whole. You want me in my right mind. You want my family saved. You want me prospering in my finances. You want me to have a testimony. You want me to move in power. You want me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You want me. You want me. You want me. God, I thank you that your word is ever true, and I will not be moved. And when we get a hold of that, faith is released. God is moved by faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, that's easy to say when hell ain't licking your toes. But you better get these foundations in, because when it does, then you have faith in God. If you got to make it up at the last second, baby, you're in trouble. You don't got time or the luxury to play games with this world. Some of you love this world more than you love Jesus. You love this world so much you'd live within the world. You sin within the world. You keep your activities within the world, and you tell God to shut up until you need him. God wants you to know you can't have faith that way. It will not sustain when the facts come. You've got to have a faith in knowing God, that when you know him, there is nothing that he cannot accomplish. And today, that's the God I serve. I don't know how big your God is, but I know my God. He's able to do abundantly above all he could even ask or imagine. My eye has not seen and my ear has not heard the great things that God has in store for those who love him. Turn to someone and say, have faith in God. Some of you got to change the way you talk. If you got a spouse, your spouse, listen now. Spouse, you want to truly serve your spouse? You tell them to be quiet when they start speaking death out their mouth. Look them right in the eye and say, Pastor Spencer said you're speaking death. Don't tell me. Pastor Spencer said, I don't have to listen to it. If you want to die yourself, that's your choice. You got to be aggressive, because the devil ain't here to play tennis. He's here to win your soul. And if he can get you to lose your faith, that's all it takes. Remember, the devil is not after your family. He's not after your money. The devil's not after your health. The devil's after your faith. Because if he gets your faith, your trust in God, of the truth, he's got all of those already in his pocket. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you that your truth, the word, bends facts. I thank you, God, that we can have faith in you and declare and decree that even though, Lord, the facts don't look positive, that, God, you can turn those things which are not as though they already are. I thank you, God, that we are not bound to this world system, that this is not about religion or going to a church or hearing a sermon, but this is about hearing your truth that will make us free. God, I thank you that today you love us so much that you showed us your will. Your will is clear in the word. There's nothing hidden. So, Lord, today we choose to be people of faith. We choose to be people that will believe the report of the Lord over the facts that are spoken over our lives, the facts over our country, the facts over our family. We declare your word is above all things. Lord, I thank you that you have not left us to be weak, but you have made us to be strong. And God, today, anybody in this room who is, Lord, starting to falter, anybody in this room who is starting to get discouraged, anybody in this room who the facts are starting to overcome, we just rebuke the spirit in Jesus' name, and we declare faith to arise, for faith has been preached. They've gotten at least 40 minutes of faith. God, raise them to a new level.
that we will not be owned by this world, but live within your kingdom. For your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We call earth to be subjected to heaven in Jesus' name. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be part of the kingdom that's going to bring you the truth that will make you victorious. For what overcomes this world is even our faith. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you need Him in your life, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want you to say, I need God. I need God to save me. Thank you, young lady. I see the hand. It's good. Anybody else? You need Jesus. Thank you very much. Put your hand right back down. Anybody else this morning? I need Jesus. Maybe you came in here and honestly, you know you're not right with the Lord. You're living in a sin. You know it, man. If you died right now, you're not positive you're going to heaven. You're a big gambler, man. You'd probably be better off to go to, your rate to be better in Vegas. Because they're pretty simple with the kingdom. If you're not right with the Lord, you can't go to heaven. So today, if you're not right with Jesus, you want to get right with God, I want you to raise your hand up too. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Come on, 2. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Shout this out loud to me. Have faith in God. Shout out loud. Have faith in God. Prophesy to the person next to you. Have faith in God. Oh, come on now. Look at the smiles. You spoke life to somebody. You spoke life to somebody. Come on, prophesy again. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Father, I just speak blessing over this room this morning. I declare that no weapon formed against this house shall prosper. I declare in Jesus' name, as the seed has been planted in the ground, 1,000 on Sunday morning in both services. God, I declare 500 on Tuesday, 500 on Wednesday, 500 on Thursday. I thank you, God, that we are going to have distinct momentum in this region, that we'll have a voice in the government. We'll have a voice in the school systems. We'll have a voice. The devil cannot have our children. The devil cannot have our families. Drugs will not run rampant on the streets of God. Lord, I thank you for that the church is alive and well, and we will not be overcome by facts, but we will overcome by the truth. Lord, anybody struggling with the loss of faith in this house, we just speak life to them in Jesus' name. God, give them hope. Give them hope and give them faith. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar this morning, maybe some of you are out there and the facts are overwhelming. There's nothing wrong with having a faith friend. You know, I've never seen just the army go out by themselves. They go out in teams. And sometimes you just need someone to couple with you. You need someone to agree with you. We're going to agree with you this morning. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation or get your life right with the Lord, going to meet me right here. Come right here, right out of your chair right now. Be brave. Come right out of your chair. Meet me right here. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning as their life will be transformed by the power of God. Oh, I know these three hands went up. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come on, baby. I'm proud of you. Amen. I'm not going to wait long. If you need prayer for facts that are overwhelmingly, I want you to step right out of your chair. Come right on in front. Find one of these prayer warriors to pray with you. They'll agree in faith in Jesus' name. Father, I just speak life over this church in the name of Jesus. I declare that every one of us is a soul winner for the kingdom of God. I declare, God, that we are going to have so many rewards in heaven that, Lord Jesus, you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray for those, God, who are struggling with their faith. Lord, they're thinking about walking away from God. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name who's trying to blind the mind of the unbeliever. And I declare, God, freedom in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Serve God with all of your heart and love Jesus with everything you got in you. If you need prayer, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room. Have an awesome day in Christ.